Hello again and welcome to Arch Eats. My name is George Mahey.
And I'm Cheryl Baer.
And today, since Easter Sunday is in the rearview mirror, we thought it was a good time to talk about brunches. We'll touch on brunch buffets. That's one of your favorites, Cheryl. I know that. And we'll finish up with a rant about servers and cell phones and how that affects service.
This episode of Arch Eats is presented by Explore St. Louis.
But first, as we always do, it's what I can't stop thinking about this week.
And George, I'm going to jump in first this week.
Well, you did. You just did. Cut me off.
Well, I'm very excited about this. Let me just tell you. I'm really excited about it. And it goes perfectly with this episode because the thing I can't stop thinking about is not a particular dish, but a place. And that is Olivet Diner. And in particular, I have not been able to get out of my mind these two line cooks who work there, who it's almost like they're doing a ballet dance or...
Okay, good, because I didn't know where that was going.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
It's about what they're doing.
It is about just how well these two work together, how seamlessly they just integrate everything that they are doing together, and they serve this high volume. I mean, there's lines out the door every Saturday and Sunday. And they do not skip a beat. They don't say one word to each other, but they are so locked in and execute the most flawless food ever. And I got to thinking about it when I was watching them. You know, we give all this credit to, you know, these high-end, fine dining chefs, award-nominated, and that's great. And that's a very important part of our dining scene. But, you know, these line cooks who are out there executing like this, wow, it is hard work what they're doing. And for them to beautifully plate these wonderful dishes consistently, it's impressive.
It's hard work. It's hot work. These guys are the yeomen that really put your plate together.
Absolutely.
And I love finding these little shoebox kitchens with, and it happens all the time. You see these guys, one guy takes a step back, he steps in. It's this choreographed dance, and it's like magic to watch these guys go. And occasionally you'll hear a, you know, behind you or pot coming through or something like that. But generally it's silent and they can anticipate where the other guy's going.
It's just wild. It's so wild. It's blown my mind. I highly recommend going to Olivet Diner. The food is good. I think it's great diner food, but also just for watching. I mean, these are masters of their craft.
So sit at the counter and watch guys go.
Absolutely. So what about you? Yours is a little different.
Mine's a little different. And this is a place that I go to a lot. And for good reason, it's Peel Pizza in Clayton. Peel Pizza has three locations, but I live close to the Clayton one, so we're there all the time. What about Peel Pizza? The answer, the whole experience, the whole shebang. Check marks in all columns. And how often can you say that? Not very often. The food's great. They've got Neapolitan pizza, and everything comes out of this wood oven, which is interesting. So they're cooking the wings there. They're cooking the sandwiches there. They're cooking the pizzas there. They've got great salads. They've got two soups on the menu. Both of them are killer. And it's just, I've never seen anything like it. It's a big place. There's a lot of people working there. Every one of them's happy and glad to be doing what they're doing.
Oh.
And it's this way all the time. You just kind of look around and go, man, I just wish every place could be this way. These guys that started this are two young guys at the time. They opened in Edwardsville, and this was really smart. Their second one was this huge place in O'Fallon, Illinois, two stories, massive place.
Oh, wow.
On the top level was a former roller rink. So you've got this old wooden floor.
Oh, how fun is that?
And it's like, you know, what are they going to do with that? Because you know how hard it is to get a St. Louisan to go up stairs.
Oh, absolutely.
Second floor dining rooms, you might as well forget it. I don't know why that is in this town, but I thought, how are these guys going to do that? How are they going to fix this problem? What did they do? They put a brew pub up there. They're brewing beer on the second floor.
I mean, you lure people with booze and they'll go anywhere, right?
Exactly. And that's exactly what happened. Now everybody wants to sit upstairs. And usually it's just the opposite. So give them a lot of credit for that. And think about it. They're brewing beer for their other places. And that's a brilliant financial move. And, you know, it just makes sense to do that. They're making a lot of money selling their own beer. Hats off to Peel Pizza. They do it right all the time. And like I said, that's a rarity that I appreciate.
It sounds like they have it all figured out, which is pretty impressive. And that consistency you know, across the board, that's a rare thing. You're right.
It is. And one thing they don't do is a brunch.
But that's a great segue.
That's the next topic of discussion. So brunches happen all the time in St. Louis, Saturdays and Sundays. St. Louis has always been a brunch city, never been a breakfast city too much until the last 10 years. Why that is, I've never figured out, but we've always been a brunch town. You and I have picked a couple of our favorites. I think we'll start with that. And I don't know about you, but I culled this from a list of about 80. And we've been doing this a bit, and this was the hardest one for me to do because I think we said, hey, let's both do our top five. And man, that was hard. It was really hard. I had a lot of crossouts and a lot of, cursing and things going on. So I'll be interested to see what you came up with. And I know we're going to go, oh, wait, I forgot about this place. Go ahead and start off. What do you have to?
Well, and I think the reason it was difficult, at least for me, is that brunch is hands down my favorite meal, dining experience, whatever you want to call it. Like when I close my eyes, and if I believed in an afterlife, I don't know, the jury's still out. But if I did, it would look like a gigantic, opulent brunch buffet.
Wow.
Like that to me, it just doesn't get better. The idea of carved prime rib, chilled shellfish, omelet stations, like anywhere that you can get bacon and prime rib and an omelet and some oysters. And mimosas and coffee, you know, it's a place where you can have four drinks on your table at any time.
I might just sit back and let you take this
right?
one.
I'm very passionate about it, which is why it is hard to narrow something down when you're so passionate. I think I did it as far as five of my favorite. They're not necessarily in rank order. These do not exclude all the other wonderful places. But when I think about a delicious brunch, the first place that popped to my head is Grand Pied in the Tower Grove South neighborhood, right there in the Morgan Ford, kind of that business strip there. This is an interesting place.
Yeah, it defines the term quirky.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if there's a quirky place in St. Louis, this is it.
That's it. And part of it is, you know, they really kind of had to roll with and adapt to some situations. They actually started out, it was supposed to be a bar and food concept. But then when the bar, they decided to go a different direction, they were kind of like, what are we going to do now? We were just kind of like a food counter inside of a bar, and now we are a standalone restaurant. So that's where some of the kind of like, figuring out period happened in the beginning. But what they have settled upon is this wonderful breakfast and lunch spot. Sometimes they'll do like private dinners and things like that. But the heart of their menu is kind of this like brunch time thing. And the reason why they have like great potatoes, they have great like chicken and waffle, but the essential dish are their pancakes. And I think you've heard, or have you, I don't know if you've had their pancakes.
I have. And there's pancakes on every table for good reason. They've got this crispy edge to them that most pancakes don't. They're crispy on the outside and very tender and fluffy on the inside.
Yes.
And I've tried to duplicate that at home. It's so good. And I've come close with cooking it in some oil and some butter, you know, not just a little glazing, but just not even frying it, but a little more oil and butter than you would put in the pan. You can start to get a crispy edge that way.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it's really hard to get the whole package. But these guys do it every time.
They do.
All day long.
Well, as a side note to that, do you know what I cook my pancakes in at home? I do my popcorn in this as well, is coconut oil.
Okay.
It is delicious. And it gives it this like really nutty, like just awesome flavor. So I highly recommend that. That is like my sleeper secret to pancakes. But
pro tip from Cheryl.
Pro tip,
coconut oil.
Exactly. Coconut oil. So their pancakes are fantastic. They're not those Japanese custardy kind of pancakes, but they do jiggle when they set them down on the table. It's incredible.
No liquor license. Bring your own beer, wine, spirits. They don't seat large parties. It's twos and fours because the place is so small and not configured that way. So don't bring your six or eight top there. There's a lot of, I won't say attitude, but a lot of kind of rules like that.
Yeah.
No cash, No house phone. We don't take over the phone orders. We don't take reservations, but you can get on the digital wait list. So,
but I have to add to that.
It's got its own vibe and it's a cool, funky vibe. That's all I can say. It's a great place on a Sunday morning.
And I do have to add to that, Tony, the chef there, who actually his parents own Piccadilly on Manhattan.
Tony Kalita.
Yes. Yep. He and his partner, they are the kindest people ever. I think the reason they do have so many kind of like rules and stuff is because it's pretty much a two-person show and they're fiercely protective of wanting to have like a quality of life outside the restaurant. So good for them and good for those pancakes.
Yeah. Not a huge menu, but it's all good stuff. You know, I love these small menus because they've honed every item. And I agree. And a lot of people don't know about it. It's pretty nondescript. Mm-hmm. You drive down the street and there are no big signs or anything, but it sure is cool. And they've got a nice little side patio when the weather gets good.
Yes. So another place that I love, and I think a lot of people don't think of this for brunch, is Asador del Sur, the South American restaurant in Maplewood.
Yes. I'm glad you said that because I forgot that they were open for brunch. I forgot that they were open for lunch. When they opened, it was dinner only. And I think they might have done weekends, but so I'm glad you're bringing that one up.
This is one of my favorite restaurants just in general. I think the grilled meats there, the chimichurri, it just doesn't get better. But their brunch is extraordinary. They have a really large menu. You can get some of those like grill items that they're so well known for. You get ceviche, but then they do, they'll do like French toast. They do like a dulce de leche French toast, which is exquisite. So they do several different varieties of Benedict, but they do this one that I particularly love that's crab and avocado. It's almost like a crab salad.
Great combination.
Yeah.
If you go to try to find that brunch menu, it doesn't exist. They put the menu up, I think, on Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
Because it changes all the time.
Yes.
So you can't like preview it, but there are a lot of items on it. Like you said, a lot of crossover items, like their short rib dish, which is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Their Entrana steak, which is that skirt steak that they have that's so awesome. I'm glad you told us because I don't think a lot of people know about it, and I didn't. I just forgotten about it. So,
it's easy to forget about because like you said, they don't have that menu and everything, but it is unforgettable once you have it for sure. What about you? Who's on your short list?
Another one kind of like that I think people maybe know about, but kind of forget about is Panorama at the St. Louis Art Museum. It kind of hides behind that smoked glass and you just don't see it. There's no sign. There's no warning that there's a restaurant inside. And it happens pretty nondiscreetly right as you walk in the door there. And they do a Saturday and Sunday brunch. And I think it's from 10 to 3. Mm-hmm. So I like that. Most of them are like 11 to 2. But this one, you get a kind of hour on each side. Which is really very civilized, as it should be in the art museum. So what I like, their Benedict, they put on crumpets.
Ooh, that sounds
and
great.
You don't see many crumpets. A crumpet's kind of like an English muffin, but it's got a kind of a harder bottom. So all the holes on top kind of absorb all the goodies that you're putting in there because they have nowhere else to go. So there's a great Benedict. It's got asparagus and air-dried tomatoes on it. It's just it's kind of the go-to item for me. They've got a French omelet. I know you're a French omelet fan.
I love French omelets.
There's not a lot going on, but it's quality stuff. I think there's 5 salads with 4 protein options, so you can go a bunch of different ways. And, reservations are accepted. It's just a very civilized way to do a brunch on a Saturday and Sunday morning or afternoon.
And that room is so beautiful. I love sitting in that room. I feel like it really it captures the spirit of what, like, I don't want to say elegant to imply expensive. I don't mean that, but there's like this elegance and beauty and modern feeling that really just seamlessly flows into the museum.
And then you look outside and you've got a panoramic view of Art Hill. And when you're finished, you walk outside and you take a little stroll and you count the kites on Art Hill. And it's just a lovely way to spend, a Sunday morning.
It's the whole package. You're right. Just that experience feeling that you get there. That's great.
It's a cool place. Another place that, again, people don't know about necessarily because it's hard to see is the Bellwether.
Yes.
And it's in a very nondescript building, and it occupies the second and third floors. what I like about their brunch is they've got two dining rooms and two patios. Those patios on both levels span the length of the building. I'm a big outdoor brunch guy, and there's all kinds of outdoor space there. The food's great. The one dining room's a little livelier than the other one. The other one's a little bit quieter, a little more like a library, like a wine library.
Sure, yeah, very cozy.
And it's very cozy. And then you've got the outside, so you've got all kinds of different ways to go there. There's, I think the go-to item there is a cinnamon toast crunch, French toast stick, right?
Are you kidding? Yeah. That just... That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, where did I get you? Yeah. Probably at Cinnamon Toast.
I think so. I think our crunch, too. I love the idea of the texture.
It's so good. But what's interesting, I was talking to the owner, and I said, you know, are there any sleeper items on your menu? Like, I'm pretty familiar with most of them. He said, you know, we've designed the menu to really appeal, to have everything sell. He goes, all our items sell approximately the same, because that's how we want to design it, and which I thought was really interesting. So the bacon fried rice with egg is a big seller. It's as almost as big as the French toast. So anyway, there's five or six or eight items, I think, and they all kind of sell equally, which I thought was kind of interesting.
I bet the kitchen likes that.
Yeah,
takes
the pressure off one guy that's getting slammed in the middle station.
Exactly.
Now, the one thing about Bellwether that I want to mention that I wasn't super familiar with is there's a room on the first floor called Bellwether Hall. Are you even hip to this place?
No, I didn't know about this.
It's the old Jewel space.
Okay, sure.
It is a, you know, a former event space. And I just think what they're doing down there is fascinating. On Valentine's Day, they set it up with 42 tops. Smart.
Brilliant.
What are they going to do on Easter Sunday? Something completely different. They're going to do an Easter brunch buffet with parties of 6, 7, and 8 only.
Oh, that's great.
How many times, you know, that's what happens with all these places. Every time you have a big brunch thing, all these big tables fill up early. And then, you know, 2s and 4s everywhere, but the 6s and 8s can't get in.
Sure.
If it goes well, they'll do it on Mother's Day and graduation weekends. Mm-hmm. And anytime there's calls for a big party, they're going to do that in this Bellwether Hall, they call it. I just think that's just super smart, and I've never seen anybody do that before.
Yeah, that's great. Plus, they have great cocktails there as well. You know, beyond just the traditional like Bloody Marys and stuff, they have like a wonderful cocktail program there.
They do. Their bartender there, gosh, can't think of his
name.
Travis, yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Very talented guy. So your turn.
Well, gosh, I have a couple more on my list. I think I'll go with the one that that really just speaks to my heart so much. I've talked about Songbird on here. I think it was even included in my perfect day of eating.
It was.
It would include Songbird. I love this restaurant. It's in the Grove, but it's not on the main drag. It's off Shoto, so a little bit closer to 40. What a lovely restaurant. Chris, who owns it and runs it, she is this respected restaurateur here in St. Louis. And, you know, it's just a lovely dining room. Everything is so impossibly fresh. You know, great coffee program there. The thing that you have to get, though, is that combo breakfast sandwich. And it sounds so simple. People are like, why do people obsess about it? And then you have it and you're like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, that's the one that they line up at the Tower Grove Farmers Market. You see the longest line that's stretching around the block, and they're all lined up for that sandwich. And I joke, and I said, you know, you were able to set up an entire restaurant based on the reputation of that one sandwich.
Yes.
I don't think that's too much of an overstatement.
It's not.
It's that good of a sandwich. Everybody has to have it. Everybody sees them at that farmer's market, and it's delicious. Well, we should probably say what's in it.
Yeah. Well, and I will say that that's true, that they were looking to open a new concept. They used to own Counterculture, like a tiny little place down on Watson.
Right.
They were looking for a second concept and thought, well, everyone lines up around the corner for this breakfast sandwich. Let's do a breakfast restaurant. So it is perfectly griddled sourdough bread, local sourdough bread. And when I mean perfectly griddled, I mean golden, uniformly golden from edge to edge. To the point of being crispy, but not to the point of being dark brown. It is, I mean, to me, perfectly griddling a bread is like, yeah.
Griddled,
chef's kiss.
Not grilled, not toasted, but griddled.
Buttery, delicious, big difference. And it sets the tone. Sharp cheddar cheese, gooey egg, bacon, but the piece de resistance is they do a honey drizzle on top and some Maldon sea salt.
Changes your life. Both those little garnishes are, yes. I don't say it makes the sandwich, but boy, it makes it unforgettable.
But it makes the sandwich. And she says a lot of people try and say, well, I don't really want the honey on there. And she'll accommodate that. But she's like, I promise you.
Yes, you do.
You think you don't want it, but I promise you want it. So get the honey. If you get the combo breakfast sandwich, don't nix the honey. It is the glue that ties it all together.
Another place that does a breakfast sandwich, but it's kind of a build your own one, which I like. And mm-hmm. I know that's on your list, is Yolklore.
Yes.
They do you can put it on, I think, ciabatta, which I've never gotten away from the ciabatta. I think you can put it on a biscuit or bread too, but that's a great sandwich. And yes. Yolklore is one of your.
Yolklore is on my list. That's a great, kind of segue to that. Mary, who owns the place, I think a couple of places that I really love. Fundamentally, the chef is a pastry chef. So that's why all the breakfast breads and like the base of your breakfast sandwich, whether it's a biscuit or ciabatta or a English muffin, it's going to be perfect because they put so much heart and soul into the craft of just nailing the bread there. I also love Yolklore because she was one of the first people, and this was before the pandemic, she really innovated in what's possible with a drive-thru. You get this drive-thru there, and she was like, we think of just fast food as drive-thrus. She's like, but you can get good, wholesome, farm-to-table food just as fast out of our drive-thru. So I love it there. I love the coffee club that she does. It's
the
so fun.
The coffee club is great. Dubuque Coffee.
Yes.
I think it's $8 a month now, mm-hmm. or $80 for the year, yeah. for unlimited coffee, tea, cold coffee, iced tea. But what I like is they do coffee cubes, ice cubes made from coffee.
Yes,
so your iced coffee doesn't get watered
it's
down.
It's just brilliant.
Same thing with iced tea. They have iced tea cubes. I've never seen a restaurant do that consistently. I try to do that at home, mm-hmm. but it's hard to keep up with.
Well, and it's one of those touches that it's just those little thoughtful details that, they all add up to just make this great experience.
Another thoughtful detail is when they added cocktails.
Well, yeah, that's very thoughtful.
But they did it and they added them, they have them in sealed containers.
Mm-hmm.
So being sealed, you can sell them and we can buy them at that drive-thru. So you can walk out of there with a mimosa or a Bloody Mary or one of their breakfast margaritas. Thank you very much. Anyway, a lot of cool things going on there. One thing there that I'm not an oatmeal guy,
mm-hmm.
but their baked oatmeal.
Yes.
It's, and everybody goes, oh, oatmeal, I don't think so, but I won't say it's life-changing, but it's pretty darn close, and it's kind of, it comes almost in a slab form, and it's got some local honey on it and local yogurt, but again, it's an oatmeal for people that wouldn't order oatmeal
yes.
out, like me. Again, there's about 20 reasons we just gave you to eat at Yolklore.
Yeah, well, an oatmeal, I know Bowood Farms is, we'll be talking about that a little bit later, or not Bowood Farms, I'm sorry, Bowood by Niche at Bowood Farms in the Central West End. But their oatmeal, it may be one of the best things on their menu. It's outstanding with all the little
crunchy. Maybe we need an oatmeal segment.
I think we need an oatmeal segment, exactly. Rather than buffets, we'll do an oatmeal segment.
We'll be right back.
Discover the vibrant culinary scene of our city in The Flavor of St. Louis, a 30-minute film produced by Explore St. Louis. Discover the innovative flavors and talented chefs that make St. Louis a must-visit destination for foodies. Culinary masterminds such as Nick Bogner of Sato and Indo, Michael and Tara Galina of Take Root Hospitality, and Simone Four of La Patisserie Souquette will share their stories and passion for food. Don't miss this mouth-watering motion picture. Visit ExploreSt.Louis.com to watch the film and taste the flavors of St. Louis today.
And now, back to the show. So what else is on your plate?
Well, we've talked about this before. Telva at the Ridge. We could do a whole segment on Telva at the Ridge.
Oh, absolutely.
As well. Sister restaurant to Balkan Treat Box, owned by Lauren and Ed O'Nalick. Lauren's been nominated for a James Beard Award 3 times now. Hopefully she gets it soon because she deserves it. This is at Rolling Ridge Nursery,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a very interesting idea for a coffee shop and breakfast and lunch place. A lot of their food is Balkan inspired, Balkan pastries, Balkan savory dishes. They've got a Turkish egg dish, which is just really delicious. And, you know, you hear what's in it, you read what's in it, and you go, I don't know. Just order it. Really anything there. Half the things you can't pronounce, just like at Balkan Treat Box, it doesn't matter. Order them anyway. And I don't know anybody that doesn't like just about everything that these guys serve. And really part of the reason for this place, they wanted to do a coffee shop, and Telva takes its name from the Balkan coffee that's boiled with the grounds, and you drink the coffee and you end up with the coffee grounds. And apparently, as the story goes, you turn the cup upside down and the grounds leave trails and you turn it back over, and that's used to tell your fortune.
It's like reading tea leaves.
I wish they'd find somebody to do that. I don't know that they have, but they should. Yeah. I just think that would be so much fun. They've got, you know, different, like I said, different pastries, just beautiful things, different lattes with some different flavors, but breakfast sandwiches, they call them sandwich. It's a sandwich. Well, that's not too far. I can figure out what that is, but they put them on that lovely Soman bread that Lauren bakes. But there are so many reasons to go to this place. It's only about 25 seats big. Fortunately, there's the Telva room next door, and it seats 80. It's their private event space. And really, thank God it's there, because they fill it up at brunch time every day. So Telva at the Ridge, just, you know, again, their menu, they're still kind of, I've never seen a place ramp up so slowly. I don't know that you can find their menu online, because they're still kind of finding their way. And anyway, it's just, which makes it a surprise when you go there, go, well, what's on the menu today? And you look up and you go, oh my gosh, this is so cool.
Well, they're such perfectionists in everything they do, and that results in a wonderful experience. I think it's so fun that they got to do this, because coffee culture is such an integral part of Bosnian Balkan culture. So the fact that they got to build a restaurant around this is just, it's a really fun idea, and I love them. Everything they touch is golden in my book.
And it was funny, because this Balkan coffee, which is served in these beautiful copper pots and this copper service, they had, I forget how many they ordered, but this caught on so quickly that they knew somebody that was over, you know, in Bosnia, and said, hey, we need another couple dozen of those sets. Can you bring them back with you? So, you know, I guess they've got them now. And so just to have Balkan coffee to your heart's content, because they've got plenty of setups for
it. That's great. It is rocket fuel, though. Be warned, to heart's content does not mean multiple cups, because you will be not sleeping for
Flying
2 days,
high.
You know. It's great.
Another place that people think of for dinner, but don't necessarily think of for brunch, because it was added later, is Little Fox. And Little Fox is one of the dinner places I recommend. And when people say, where, you know, what are you thinking about for dinner? Where would you reckon? Where would you send us? Lately, it's been in my top five. Mm-hmm. Just so good. They just do a great job. And it didn't surprise me that when they open for brunch, they're doing that well too. They do it on Saturday and Sunday. Again, just like their dinner menu, not a lot on there, but everything's very well thought out. Everything's very specific. There's an Italian eggs Benedict with polenta cakes and salami instead of the usual accoutrements there, with a Parmesan hollandaise, which you just got to get. They have cold brew cocktails there. One's got mezcal and tequila and cold brew.
Well, goodness.
Hold on to your hats.
And I thought you had me at Parmesan hollandaise. My gosh, you just upped
the ante
here.
Wake you up and send you on your way. Anyway, Little Fox, it's the light, bright space, nice outdoor seats when the weather allows, impeccable service. Again, don't forget about brunch. I know, go there for dinner. Don't forget about brunch.
Yeah, go there any opportunity you can. It's such a wonderful spot. And I think what's so great about it is it's such an anchor of the neighborhood. It just really embodies this neighborhood feel. The last one on my list also does that for the Southampton neighborhood, and that's Russell's on Macklin. Russell's is just, it's when you close your eyes and think about what brunch should be, it is Russell's, you know, big as your face, cinnamon rolls, wonderful French toast. Of course, you know, he has a pastry background as well, so of course it's going to be exquisitely executed. this spot. Just it's perpetually packed, but definitely worth it. They do such a great job.
I'm glad you brought up the cinnamon rolls. Yes, they're as big as your face. And what I like about it is they serve that cream cheese icing on the side.
Yes.
They don't ice them for, and I like that. I like being able to either lay it on or not lay it on. Every bite will have exactly the icing that you like. Their sandwich that, you know, that's kind of their legendary sandwich is, it's the BLATE.
Yes.
Bacon, lettuce, avocado, tomato, and egg. It's on Union Loafers bread. It's got Wenneman's bacon. It's a perfect sandwich. They do Saturday and Sunday there, right? And and again, it's patio season. They've got that upper level deck, which is nice. And then the lower level, that's just a really cool patio that you can't see from the street because it's, you know, one level down. Those are two great patios to find yourself on. And the other thing is if you do find yourself inside, we're talking about second floor dining rooms. That's one of the best ones in the city.
Oh, it's lovely.
And if anybody wants a primer onto how to do a second floor dining room, go there. It's got its own bar. It's just really, it's very welcoming. And when you get upstairs, you feel like you're at home. You don't feel like you've been shoved to the back of the bus. It's just an awesome, really well done dining room. It's probably 5-6 years old maybe. But again, a lot of people forget about it. A lot of people don't see it because they never make it up that way. Don't get dismayed if they said, oh, why don't you head on upstairs? It's a cool place to be.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. Another great place to be is the last one on your list. And I'm very curious about what you have to say because I've never been there for brunch, but I was so blown away with dinner. You know, I love it.
I'm so glad we've been talking about this because half these places I didn't know are open for brunch. I'm sure the listeners don't know. So yes, this is called Timothy's. It's out in Creve-Coeur. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful place for dinner. They've got that lobster pot pie, which is, again, one of those on every table. They're $20 a pop and you should order two.
Yes. It's so good.
They've got a miso poached grouper. They've got the steak frites. That it's a really good value. I think the grouper and the steak frites are $34, which is, in this day and age, a pretty good value, especially when you consider how cool Timothy's is.
Their food is classic, and these are like these familiar fine dining favorites, but it feels fresh and modern. It does not feel dated at all. Like they're these dishes that when you close your eyes again and think of fine dining, this is what comes to your mind. They're just so flawlessly executed, too. That's what I'm always excited about when I go there.
And that carries through to their brunch. Mm-hmm. They just came out with a new menu, I think, for spring and summer. They've added some lunch items to it because folks were wanting a hamburger at lunch. So they did that. But there's a slinger on the menu that has, you know, you can get their Wagyu beef chili on there, but you can also get a crab and sausage gumbo.
Oh, that sounds
on
wonderful.
The slinger. How about that?
Oh, what a great idea.
I think that's very cool. They've enclosed their patio for the winter, which is a smart idea. The windows will come down soon. I love their patio there. They do take reservations. The thing that's craziest about this place, and you wouldn't expect it, is the bar program and the wine program. 6 mimosas on the brunch menu, 3 Bellinis on the brunch menu.
Wow.
10 whites and 10 reds by the glass on the brunch menu.
This sounds like a challenge. I like it. I'm up for it.
And they've got 15 super high premium wines by the glass using the Coravin system, which keeps wines perfect. 3-ounce pours or 6-ounce pours. But I mean, it's unbelievable. And a 40 bottle selection of half bottle wines.
Oh, that I can't. We should do a whole segment on half bottles and why they're so important.
And these guys, I mean, it's really tailored for people that don't want a whole bottle of wine. You've got all this incredible selection. And the owner truly believes in half bottles of wine. And it's just really cool to see that many on a menu. Obviously, you can have those at dinner, but you can have them at brunch too.
Yes, it's such an amenity for guests that, you know, you're really giving them an option. And, oh, I can't thank them enough for that.
So I love Timothy's. I love it at night and I love it in the day.
Yeah, and I think that's been kind of the common theme here. A lot of these are places that maybe you don't necessarily think of them during brunch time, but what they're doing at dinner just so exquisitely, you know, transfers.
It shouldn't come as any surprise that they kill it for brunch. We've got a couple kind of quick hits that we want to do.
We do. A couple fun ones. Couple just wacky ones you may not think of. I almost put this on my top 5. If it was a top 10, they would definitely be on there. Crow's Nest. They do metal brunch. I admittedly love metal music. I know That might come as a surprise to people, but I do. I love it.
I've never gone, and I'm not sure I can get behind heavy metal at brunch. But
you would think so. It's so fun, though. There's such a fun, irreverent feel, but this might lure you in. They do this decadent hash brown casserole, but this is another thing where you're thinking, do I really want this on top? Yes, you do. They sprinkle Captain Crunch on top of this. Mm-hmm. So you get this like sweet and savory. It's so good. I promise you. I doubted it.
I've heard of cornflakes on top, but I like that a little better.
Oh, this is fun. This is great. So that is on my list. Wonton King, who doesn't love dim sum? I mean, I feel like we could do a whole category of dim sum, obviously. So I definitely have to give a shout out to Wonton King.
And there aren't very many dim sum restaurants.
Yes.
So that's one of few.
They are great. Elmore Leah Supermercado. They don't do like a breakfasty brunch, but they do a special taco brunch. It's like all taco all the time on Sundays. And the way they describe it, it's kind of like this taco extravaganza.
Is it a taco bar?
It. Well, they just have all these different proteins. So, I would say like normally their counter has, 5 or 6. This, they like double that, and they do all sorts of like creative things, and they only do that on Sundays. So it's basically like this, I wouldn't say it's like a bar. It's not like a self-serve, but it's definitely like expanded option, and they call it taco brunch. So that is really awesome.
Two words I love.
I know,
put
taco
together.
And brunch. Exactly. We've talked about this in the past, so I'm just going to mention Cinnamon Rolls at Sarah's on Central and Eureka. Colleen's has my favorite avocado toast. If we're doing quick hits here, lemon, arugula, chili flake, sea salt, and an over easy egg.
Mm.
Perfect combination. Mm. And then last on my list is Milk Toast Bar on Jefferson, recently moved and expanded. It used to be this tiny little place. I love their toasts. I love everything that they do. But my little pro tip there, and the reason why it just blows my mind, is the chef and one of the owners there, Colleen Clausen, she used to work at Riddle's, the longtime beloved, gone but never forgotten restaurant in the Loop. And they used to do these blue cheese stuffed mushrooms. And the blue cheese, I can't even tell you what I think the key was they put a little Tabasco and something in them.
Can't hurt.
Oh my gosh. But anyway, every now and then they will run a blue cheese toast as their special that uses that same mixture that used to go in the mushrooms on this blue cheese toast. So it's kind of a nod to restaurants past, and it's delicious.
Mm, it sounds great.
So good. Yes. So what are your quick hits?
Best bacon in town. It's one I usually don't even think about. I just either like it or I
don't.
Yeah,
right?
The proprietary bacon at the original Pancake House.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
They spec it special. It's thicker cut. It's longer. It's double hickory smoked, I'm told. On their menu, there's a bacon lover's breakfast that has 5 strips of this bacon, 3 eggs, hash browns, and 3 pancakes.
It's a hearty.
If you can handle it, you should.
That's
at the original Pancake House. Their bacon is just so good. And they know it, and they promote it, and don't miss it.
Their omelets are great, too. They're really fluffy and baked.
They inject a lot of air into those omelets.
Yeah.
It's fun. French toast. How about French toast? That's hard to pick a favorite. Mine currently, because it always changes. It might be at Katie's. They've got a brioche French toast that's got that mascarpone, kind of a whipped cream, and strawberries and berries. But the key there is the crispy pancetta. And that just makes the whole thing different.
And the fig syrup.
And the fig syrup.
The fig syrup on there, too.
So those
so
are the
decadent.
two special things that they do at Katie's that could have been on both our lists, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about for a good time Sunday, go to Evangeline's in the Central West End for their jazz brunch. And they've got all these great Cajun things. They've got a Bananas Foster stuffed French toast. And, of course, you got to have a Creole Bloody Mary to go with it. But that's a great time on a Sunday.
You get there when Miss Jubilee's playing, and it's like the most fun you'll have in the city,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Best hash. That's one that a lot of people don't eat. They kind of turn their nose up at. A place called Egg. There's 2 mm-hmm. eggs in St. Louis. There's an El Cerdo hash. El Cerdo means the pig. Potatoes, carnitas, spinach, corn, jalapenos, 2 poached eggs, chipotle salsa.
Oh, wow.
That is really good. That's a good, hearty breakfast. There's eggs all over brunch, obviously. And I was trying to think of my favorite egg dish. And I thought about this for a while, and I came up with a tie.
Mm-hmm.
Eggs en cocotte at Brasserie that they bake And yes. With, you know, it's got spinach and bacon.
Ooh,
and
those are yummy.
And served with brioche toast. It's so good. Another Girard Craft restaurant, Bowood by Niche, the cacio e pepe eggs.
Yes. Oh, they're wonderful.
So there's two, and I'm sure you, that probably prompted you to think of three more.
It did. I have to give a shout out to the French omelet at Bistro La Florison. I love French omelets. They're just decadent and gooey and yummy.
And they turn them over on it. They're just so perfectly. They're hard to make at home.
They are.
French style.
They are. It kind of goes in lines with another place. I'm going back to Olivet Diner. They have the most perfectly executed eggs every time. And I'm going to tell you, there is nothing that makes me more upset at brunch or breakfast than brown overcooked eggs. If there is brown on my egg, I'm not having it. And they, well, I will have it, but it's not my favorite. You know, I'm not going to throw it away or something. But I just love it when like scrambled eggs, they look like they are gently folded rather than like hard scrambled and overcooked. Like overcooked eggs, it makes me so sad.
Or even worse to me, I'm an over easy guy. And if you get them ordered over easy and they come a little less than that, you know where I'm going with this? It's pretty gross. So
exactly.
So Olivet Diner gets it right.
Olivet Diner gets it right every time. Every time. So they're on there too.
There's a place that, this is interesting. We're talking about Sunday brunch, Sunday brunch. This place only does Saturday brunch.
Huh.
The Big Sky Cafe in Webster, and their food is so good. And it's one of those places that a lot of people, it's kind of so old that people have forgotten about it. They're over 30 years old now. They've got really good brunch items on their Saturday brunch. And I said, you know, not to sound like a jerk, but why do you guys open on Saturday and not on Sunday? And he said, I think this was a fairly recent change, that they were closed on Sunday and Monday. They wanted to keep those 2 days for their employees
good
to be on.
Good for them.
So there, he goes, we're there Saturday night anyway. We might as well do a Saturday brunch. And quite honestly, since we are one of not very many to do Saturday brunch, it's packed. New Kid on the Block department goes to Idle Wolf.
Yes. I haven't been yet.
No, it just opened a week or two ago. So it shouldn't surprise us again with Matt Dawday there. That, and I just, one of my favorite restaurants. I know it's going to be wonderful. It's kind of American and Spanish items.
They've maybe got, that's this weekend.
Yeah, could be. They've got what they call bocatas, which are Spanish breakfast sandwiches. And what really appealed to me is one of the favorite items that I had when I was there, called pan con tomate. It's the bread with the prosciutto on top. And it's got bread and then the tomato kind of
like
product.
Pulp or whatever you want to call it.
It's tomato magic that you can top with prosciutto, which is really the way to do that.
Yes.
And at brunch, they put an egg on top of that. Hands down, I can't wait to try that item.
Yeah, just the tomato. I mean, I've had the tomato toast there. And
most people don't get this. I guess it's Serrano ham that they put up on top of it. And it's just so good that way. And, you know, let's throw an egg on there.
Yeah, right.
How can that be bad?
That's just going to be wonderful. I'm eager to try their brunch.
Yeah, so that's a brunch. Now, you know, we wanted to touch on buffets, too, because buffets, that used to equal brunch in St. Louis. You'd go out to brunch, and it was a buffet, and that's all there was to it. There wasn't a lot of a la carte service. Now that coin has flipped over. Now most of them, and I think COVID brought a lot of this on. A lot of the brunches went away during COVID. People didn't want the germs. They didn't want to approach those lines with the sneeze guards. I get all that. We've got a couple, I guess they've slowly come back. And those that did come back, I'm glad they came back. You've got one or two on your kind of to-do list or to-go list.
Exactly. And I just have to say, I was so sad when brunch buffets went away because of COVID, because it, to me, is the embodiment of all brunch should be, just this, you know, multitude of offerings. And it's almost like this embarrassment of riches.
Right. Have
I just
a little,
love it.
Have
exactly.
a lot. Take your time.
Oh, it's so wonderful. So many options and no limits. It's just the ideal way of dining in my book. And one that's been around forever that I recently went to, and it had been years since I've gone, was Yaya's out in Chesterfield.
See, there's one I forgot about. Another one.
Yes. It was everything you want a brunch buffet to be. Carved beef. Yeah, I think it was tenderloin that they were carving. Omelets. They don't have an omelet station. You actually order any kind of omelet of your dreams with, you know, your server. and they bring that out to you. Chilled shellfish as far as you could see, breakfast potatoes, French toast, waffles, eggs of all different kinds. It's everything you want a buffet to be. They have, I want to say they were only like $4, Bloody Marys and mimosas. So you, of course, have a Bloody Mary, a mimosa, a glass of water, a cup of coffee, some juice on your table, and you have as many drink items as you almost do food items at some time. It's just a fun time. You stay for hours.
There's another county place that reminds me of. It's been around probably longer than Yaya's. Mm-hmm. I think Bristol has been around since, maybe 1980. I know they've got to be 40 years old. Their brunch is legendary. It's $42 a person. It's the same type of thing. They've got carving stations and raw oysters and peel and eat shrimp and
smoked trout. And, oh, their smoked trout was so good. Yes, when I had that.
Yes, they've got spiced crawfish. They've got, what else? They've got pretty much anything. Of course, they've got the omelet station. Of course, and they've got the savory lunch type items too. And they, again, they still walk around with those cheddar drop biscuits.
Oh, those biscuits are so good.
They're biscuits that are always right out of the oven and they're always super hot. And it's a great brunch. But what people need to know is don't go there on Easter because they don't do their buffets on holidays.
Oh, I did not
Easter,
know that.
Christmas, New Year's, all those are, they do a 3-course prefix.
Okay.
That I guess could just get to be too crazy. So
good to know.
Just keep that in mind for any Sunday other than Easter and the holidays.
The one that's kind of, it's not brand new, but it's newer on the list, and you actually just wrote about this, is at Casa Don Alfonso. And I have to give a shout out to their brunch buffet for the sheer fact that they put prosciutto di Parma on it and Parmesan Reggiano cheese. And do not get sticker shock. I promise you will eat your weight in prosciutto di Parma and Parmesan Reggiano to make up for it. It is wonderful.
And I think they see you, Cheryl, coming because that big giant platter of prosciutto is right next to their slicer. And the one that they had custom made, it's that lavender color that matches the rest of the decor. It's a beautiful piece of equipment.
It makes me want to cry. I'm going to have tears. I've shed tears over my love of prosciutto before. So that's why Casa Don Alfonso gets my
book. And it's a great buffet because that begins the buffet, and at the end of it, I don't know if you've ever made it to the end,
right?
But they've got honey, they've got breads and pastries and all kinds of goodies, and they've got honeycomb there that you pull the pieces of the honey. There's nothing, no better honey than the honey right from the comb, and they've got a giant one right at the end, and it's just a beautiful way to end it. It's interesting, they've got a breakfast buffet there. Goes from, I think, 6:30 to 10:30 on Saturday and Sunday.
I would say. More traditional breakfast.
It's breakfast. And then on Sunday from 11 to 2, they've got their traditional Sunday buffet. Mm-hmm. So it's a double buffet on Sunday. And now this is what I just wrote about. On every third Sunday of the month, they're doing a special and even spiffier brunch, which is $95 a person.
Sure.
This is like the brunch they do on holidays when everybody's dressing up. It's all, you know, super fancy and everything's amped up. They've got prime rib and they've got different seafoods and it's just like the raw bar and everything you could possibly want in a buffet is on their third Sunday of the month. And that started in March. And it's a beautiful buffet. Everything's in copper pots and you walk the line and it's actually, you're walking the pass line where normally the food comes out. And they've got untraditional chafers. They've got chafers that have got the heat lamps on top.
Yes.
But what you don't see is they're also heated from the bottom.
You talk about exquisite dining rooms. It is one of the most exquisite dining rooms in town. And that kitchen, it's the kitchen of your dreams. Like if you could have any kitchen concept, it probably would look like Casa Don Alfonso's.
It's one you want to kind of stare into and look into and just kind of check out. And if you go to the buffet, you're standing right there. So you've got an excuse to do it. It's not like you're gawking and geeking. You have to be there. So if anybody has a road trip in mind, we have a few buffets that we can, I think, recommend for that on a holiday, usually Mother's Day, things like that. If you go out to Chandler Hill, it's just a lovely occasion to do anything, but they do have buffets on the big holidays. Same thing at the Old Barn Inn at the Inns of St. Albans. That is a really nice place to go. There's a couple road trip suggestions that I think that are well worth the drive.
Well, here we've been waxing so poetically about brunches and all of our favorite spots. So I guess it's kind of funny that we do have something on our minds that, you know, has, you know, maybe kind of been irking us a little bit when it comes to being in the dining room.
Sure,
you brought this up and I agreed quickly.
We're very pleasant folks, but we can get irked just like everybody else can. And that brings us to today's micro rant. And this one came up not long ago. I'm trying to find out where my server is, and it's like, where is this person? I'd like to order another drink. And I see them at the end of the bar texting.
Yes.
And yes. It's like, oh my gosh, could you at least do that somewhere else? But if you're doing that somewhere else, again, you're not on the floor taking drink orders and food orders. So, you know, it's I'm thinking, man, if your boss was around, he would have you for lunch.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'll admit, I am guilty of this. I will text at the table. You know, a server will probably turn around and say, well, you're texting when I'm trying to take your order. So, you know, who are you to judge? But, you know, it just, it goes against hospitality. It really, you know, gets to kind of that core of, you know.
No, right.
Yeah.
We don't, it's not a good idea. The customer does not approve, but, you know, I was joking. I was thinking, well, if that's the way it's going to be, maybe you can just give us your cell number and we can text you when we need you.
Exactly.
Would that work out for
yeah.
you? And by the way, give us your boss's number too. We'd like to text him as well.
Right.
That's kind of how I ended the whole thing. But anyway, servers, yeah. cell phones, the two should be separated.
They should, or, you know, at least be a little bit more subtle about it.
Exactly. Thank you for listening to Arch Eats. Be sure to follow us and share with your friends. And we always provide links in the show notes for everything you heard about today. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button and follow along on Instagram at St. Louis Mag. And feel free to give us a follow personally at George Mahey and Cheryl A. Bear.
If you loved what you heard, show us some love by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. And if you're hungry for even more content, you can subscribe to our dining newsletters for the freshest coverage on the local restaurant and culinary scene.
That's it for this week. Best dishes and see you next time.